You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. More than a month ago, Cyclone Nargis hit Myanmar, or Burma, killing at least 80,000 people. Tens of thousands of people are still missing. Everything about the response to the disaster is subject to debate because the isolated Myanmar regime has not allowed reporters to travel freely inside the country. The insular government was slow to let in aid groups. The international community feared that millions could die from disease and starvation. But now doctors and aid workers within the country say the number of lives lost because of the military government's slow response appears to have been very few. Joining us now is a New York Times reporter who we can't identify because in Myanmar, foreign journalists are not allowed to operate freely. But the reporter joins us on the line, and we're going to talk about what he's been finding inside Myanmar. First of all, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Tell us what appears to be some good news that was concealed by the isolation of the Myanmar government about the response to the aftermath of the cyclone and the response of the population.
I guess it's hard to categorize it as good news when 130,000 people, or probably that number, died in the cyclone. But, I mean, there were great fears just after the cyclone, as you say, because everything was shrouded in such secrecy, that there could be a second wave of deaths, that there could be outbreaks of disease, that there could be starvation in these pockets of, in these remote areas of the Irrawaddy River Delta where the cyclone struck. And, for a number of factors, it turns out that looks like that didn't happen. And it looks like the number of people who died waiting for aid, who were severely injured and couldn't get medical attention, who were so lacking for food and water that they died. It looks like that number is very, very small. And the reasons are, one, hardiness of the people in that part of Myanmar. They're used to being on their own, not getting much assistance. They're fishermen, they're farmers, they know how to live off the land. And it turns out that the storm as well, the character of the storm, meant that a lot of people died, a lot of people drowned, but they didn't cause many severe injuries like we saw in the Chinese earthquake, for instance.
One of the things you chronicle in your story in the New York Times is how resilient the population has been in setting up aid networks to deliver medical and food aid to people in the civilian population, partially because people in Myanmar aren't used to, or they've long ago given up on expecting anything from their government.
Well, this is one of the sort of the untold stories here, which might never get told because the people who carried it out don't really want publicity. It might lead to the government could be angry about them. I mean, angry, about what they did. I mean, in the first few days after the cyclone, the government was very wary of having private citizens in Myanmar hand out aid, travel down to the Delta and hand out aid. They often said it has to go through us. They confiscated rice. They confiscated clothing that people were handing out. And there was a lot of anger welling up because of that, and the government basically backed off. People left in huge convoys. We're talking about businessmen and doctors and just anyone with a heart in Yangon, a commercial capital. They left in these huge convoys for the Delta, and they handed out tons and tons of food, tons and tons of clothing. They didn't reach the most remote areas, but some of the international medical associations that were on the ground managed to reach those people. So it was a much greater coverage of relief than we initially thought.
Well, it's an amazing story of anonymous heroes there in Myanmar, and we're looking forward to more details when you are outside of the country. but operating from somewhere inside Myanmar, a New York Times reporter who we can't identify because reporters are not allowed to operate freely there. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.